Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the build-up show. Liverpool taking on Huddersfield Friday night.
Get your dancing shoes on, lads.
Whoa! I'm not even in the country for this one. I'm really close. really want to see this game. Listen, Ben, Bailey and Si join me for this one. Ben, look, Huddersfield are dreadful. Let me just explain to you how dreadful they are, because let's just get this all out the way early on. They've only taken 4 points since 25th of November, which was a game they won. I think they beat Wolves. They've actually beaten Wolves twice this season, which is hilarious.
Double over Wolves,
They've only won three games all season. We are 74 points ahead of them in the league table.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, they've scored 20 goals in 35 games and conceded 69 goals in 35 games. They are terrible. They're utterly terrible. They are like historically terrible, which I find mad because I've not paid attention to them at all. My only knowledge of them was I went away to whatever the hell their stadium, the McAlpine Stadium, whatever it's called, either John Smith. There you go.
John Smith. And
they were really good and their fans were brilliant. And I felt they were just missing a goal scorer and they'd have been a good side. No, turns out they're just utterly garbage.
No, they're very much... Yeah, I think the reason I've not been paying attention to them is because they've basically been relegated week two and we've all just written them off from that
point. You've been playing Man City every week, haven't they? I think that's the problem.
Feels like they have, yeah. Man City went to the St. John Smith Stadium the other week and just were basically so much better than them. They won 2-0 and didn't really show up. This is a game we should be winning. It's a game that I'm 95% sure that we will win, but I suppose that's the whole point of the Premier League. It kind of throws something dodgy your way every now and then. I don't think it will this time. I think we're very efficient machine in a way. I think we'll just be able to ground this result out, no problem, but anything can
happen. I thought they were poor under Wagner, and I took that as like that Wagner wasn't a good manager, and I was thinking he's an overrated manager and they're getting beat every week. But I think that record, which is pretty much since he's gone, I think he went maybe around that time. That shows that he was actually doing a very good job at Huddersfield.
It shows that he was very clever to jump ship when he did as well before his reputation got tarnished, because he'll be remembered as the fella that brought them up. They weren't good enough, they weren't good enough to be in the Premier League. They got up through the playoffs brilliantly. What a story! Great videos on that on the Boston channel from back in the day. But yeah, he's protected his reputation as a good up and coming coach. But
who is the manager now?
Some fella. It's from Dortmund.
I honestly could have done the research on that. Yeah.
I was looking on Reuters, he had a Dortmund coat on. Yeah. If that was credence to anybody.
Yeah. It was like the number two or number three.
I'm going to Google that in a second because, it's definitely my job. Bailey, look.
We're not underestimating Huddersfield at all.
No, but this is the thing. We've been talking about this. We did a big bit on this on the podcast about how, the fears that we have over Liverpool are not caused by this Liverpool side. They're caused by Liverpool sides of the past. In that regard, I feel really uneasy talking about how easy a game this is.
Yeah, definitely. Even this season, looking back at West Ham and Leicester, even in the ascendancy we were in that point in the season, we were seeing those as it's a tricky game, but it should be a given win for Liverpool. Whereas you can't take anything for granted, even a team that's conceded 69 goals. But
well, look at Fulham. The Fulham are pretty much gone when we come to play them. They had a little bit to fight for, but they that was a tough afternoon. And we've just got to hope here that depending on the result of the Manchester derby, I suppose Friday night it is going to be booming either way. So the crowd then play a part, and I think we get ourselves an early goal inside the first 20 minutes, I think we'll go on and put quite a few.
The worrying thing for me is everything is in our favour that we should go and win this game and win this game comfortably.
Yeah.
And when it seems so obvious that that's going to happen, then maybe a little bit of complacency comes in, and that might work for the crowd as well.
Yeah.
Like the crowd shouldn't be anything other than brilliant on a Friday night, yeah, and we've got three games left of the season.
In some regards, though, I think that's so good that it's a Friday night, yeah, in that regard, because if this was Saturday half 12, Saturday 3 o'clock,
barely a few weeks ago,
you know, exactly, you know, one of those games where are people able to get up for it? Whereas, you know, we're coming toward the last. There's two more home games, you know, league home games, yeah, left this season. Everyone's going to go and have a bevy, go and have a bit of a, you know, and have a bit of a sing song or whatever. You would certainly hope. The answer to the question, by the way, and I had no idea this was the case, was Jan Seward, who's the same age as me. There you go. And his managerial past.
Experience manager, then, yeah.
This is the last you'll see of Saw on the Uncensored Match Club.
Fantastic.
I'm waiting for a comeback now.
I won't do it on camera, si. He was the Borussia Dortmund 2 manager prior to joining them. So
Number 2. Yeah, that's where I got it from.
I can't get too sucked into all this, because it'd be stupid as far to have an attitude anything other than that. We're not the players. We're entitled to think Liverpool, who are top of the league, you know, at time of filming certainly, and Huddersfield, who are one of the worst, if not the worst, team that's ever been in the Premier League.
Second to maybe Derby.
Yeah, you know, are, you know, there should be, there's a massive disparity. Liverpool should be clear favourites in this. You know, my complacency, if there is any complacency, has no bearing on this match in any way, shape, or form.
In previous years, there has been a bit of complacency going into these games. I know it might have been before this season. Klopp's record against the bottom three in the table was actually really poor, surprisingly, yeah, bad. Our record against pretty much anyone below the top six this season has been fantastic. Yeah. I know draws against Everton, Leicester and West Ham. Mm-hmm. Is that the only time we've dropped points against anyone outside the top six?
I
think it is. That's an absolutely ridiculous record.
Yeah.
And hopefully we continue it on Friday.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with all that. And this is the thing, again, we're talking about this thing being from previous teams, Ben, is that, yeah, we've been ruthless. We've been a different machine. Complacency. We've been talking a lot about, like, look at the absolute shit show that is third to sixth in the Premier League table, and how none of them seemingly wants to capitalise, yeah, and get themselves a top place, top four place. But that's what that's always like. And Liverpool, at best, over the last 10 years, have only ever been just on the edges of that conversation. Yeah. So that's the Liverpool we're used to seeing, that we're currently seeing from Chelsea, yeah, from Arsenal, from Manchester United. You can't, at this stage of the season, it's very hard to put a consistent run, when really, what are you playing for? Is fourth a big prize to play for? That's the difference with this, is that, look, you know, the manager's message will just be, carry on doing what you're doing. Yeah. If you want to win the league, you've got to keep going.
And I think that's not only what the manager will be saying, but more experienced heads in the dressing room as well. The likes of Henderson and Milner are going, look, Milner won't, like we discussed that on the podcast today, Milner won't even be, I feel like Milner doesn't even know he's in a title race. He's just, I'm here to play football and turn up and win. What else is there to it? That's my life.
Yeah.
And as long as he can sort of expel that energy to perhaps some of the other players in the dressing room, maybe the less experienced ones, particularly in English football, the likes of Keita, Matic, maybe, you know, players like that, then I have no qualms about it, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And the good thing is, once again, Bailey, we're blessed with some options to pick one. We're going to go through preferred 11s later, of course, but I think it's really interesting that we've been talking now for a couple of weeks now. I think we're all now, it's all in on this Fabinho, Hendo, Keita, midfield three. I think now every one of us, given the choice, would play that every game for all of eternity. However, Gini Wijnaldum, who prior to 4 games ago, when we all decided this was our best midfield, was first name on the team sheet in every Liverpool midfield, in everyone's heads and the manager's, comes in, plays in the six, gets a goal as well. There's nothing more he could have done in that Cardiff game, really, to put his hat in the ring. Not just for this, but for the Barca game as well.
Yeah, definitely, mate. And it's such a welcome sort of change, as opposed to sort of most, it's Liverpool especially, and most teams at this end of the season, it's players dying away, as opposed to players sort of rejuvenating and coming back into the team and saying, I want to be here. But most interesting thing for me is, the out of the Huddersfield players, out of Grant, Jorgensen and Moy, all of those three of their top three goal scorers have 7 goals between them.
Yeah.
We've got 7 players with 4 goals or above in our team, one of which is Van Dijk, one of which is Daniel Sturridge, and one of which is Erdin Shaqiri.
Yeah.
Two of those players barely ever feature for this club, and they've got goals more than this team that have scored as a three. So that's hope for me, and you'll see, obviously, when we come to the starting 11s, why this is sort of a very potent game to potentially bring in changes, especially the likes of sort of Yajed Shaqiri, where he hasn't featured at all. And this is the point where there's not really a better game that you can bring a player like Yajed Shaqiri in to say, if I've got trust in you. Obviously, there's a lot of fans saying, well, what's happened to him? It'll be a testament from Klopp to say, all right, this is the game where I think you've got the most sort of foundations to be safe, almost.
It's an interesting one because I think there's enough gap per side between this game and Barcelona that, look, if we want to just pick the same team and go for it, we probably can, but it's the last post before those games. So if he wants to A, rotate, or B, give some lads an opportunity to prove themselves, that's another thing for the motivation. Anyone who's going into this game is thinking, well, look at Jordan Henderson. You know, he's been ousted from his position that he's captain. And all of a sudden, he's looking like he can't get in the team. Gets his chance off the bench against Southampton playing up, and now he's one of the first names on the team sheet. Anyone who gets a game in this one, we're not going to get shared, because this is not like dropping Victor Moses in, who's like, well, my loan's coming up at the end of the season and no one likes me, so who cares? Or Iago Aspas, who's barely kicked the ball, or the Luis Albertos. We've got a bunch of lads here, all of whom will not just be gagging for a game, but will think that if they get a game, they've got everything to prove still.
Yeah, and for the rest of the season, and then going into the summer, and where the Klopp season is, the plans for going into next season as well. I think you've got 5 days in between this game and Barcelona, and in isolation, there is enough time to rest there to play the same team twice. But then after Barcelona, a few days later, we've got Newcastle, and then we've got Barcelona again, and then we've got Wolves. Those four games are so big, and they do come in a short space of time, that I think you could do with maybe swapping a couple of players out and maybe just having an eye on those games and what your strongest 11 is in for this one. And that's what I've done with my favourite 11.
The player that really springs out to me in this, Bailey, is Joe Gomez. And I'm sure, we'll see what everyone else has done in a minute, but this in some respects could be the last chance for him to get it. If Klopp is interested in being available and being a first choice player for Barcelona, and I'm not saying he should one way or the other, by the way, because I think Matip's having a splendid season so far, and same with Trent, you'd be looking to get Gomez in here, wouldn't you? And I guess by that logic, you'd be looking to get him in a centre-half because, you know, if him and Van Dijk are our best defensive partnership, regardless of how good Matip's been, you'd be trying to gear towards that.
Absolutely, and I think that's, after doing the starting 11 show for the last couple of weeks, everyone sort of, it's always been a question for me saying, is this the time to bring Gomez back in at centre-half as you sort of lay down the runway of these Premier League games into the importance of the semi-final of the Champions League? And nobody can get away from the fact that Matip's been excellent, he's been really, really good. But it's that love story of Van Dijk and Gomez that they established for the first 12 games, where it was like, you two just look fantastic together. And it's, for me, I think this is a telling game where if, say, Matip stays and Gomez stays rotational, that further adds to my, not just my perception of Matip, but having Klopp's back in as well, saying this could have been a game where I could have rested him and brought Gomez back in. He's had two starts off the bench now. This is a perfect time. But if he plays Matip again, I think that's a huge testament to Matip as to how important he actually is.
It can go both ways though, can't it, Ben? Because resting Matip in this game could also be the nod, exactly what Bailey's saying, but it could be the nod to say, he's definitely starting in Barcelona. There's high praise in that regard. And maybe Gomez comes in more the way that we saw Lovren come in for the first Porto game, just because it's a last good opportunity to give him some minutes in case. Because, look, let's say something happens to Matip. Let's say Matip gets his pants pulled down, you know, in Barcelona, you know, it does injure himself. We're probably not trusting Lovren again at this point of the season. But you know, you could really do with Gomez being
having a bit of match sharpness about him. Yeah, that's what it is. And I think I agree. I think this game is a good opportunity. As we've all sat here and we've all got, you know, Liverpool should win this game. So whatever players we put on the pitch for me should be capable of beating Huddersfield. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So for me, that then why not use it as a bit of an opportunity? Look, of course it's still a big game because we are going for the league, and you know there any drop points at this point are going to cost us basically. But for me, whatever players you put, you could start Shaqiri, you could start anybody pretty much, and I would be confident any side. You could start Lovren, and I think we should have enough there to beat Huddersfield. So for me, that's why it might be a good opportunity to get Joe Gomez into the side. Even if Oxlade-Chamberlain's knocking about, if you can get him on the bench, that might be a good opportunity for him as well. I don't know where he is, though.
I hadn't even considered that, to be honest. It's an interesting shout. We don't know, do we? Only they know who's been watching him train. I think Gomez is a pretty similar one to that. I know he's come on very briefly in the two games. I know he only got a few minutes against Cardiff the other day. So it depends how fit he actually is, whether you do want to throw him in, because if you throw him in, they play up, these type of teams try and play on the weaknesses that they can try and get on.
Yeah.
So if they've got the big striker up front or whatever who's trying to make Gomez struggle when he's not completely fit, that might be the case. But if they're watching Gomez every day in training...
But we saw him at the start of the season. The tests he passed along the way. You know, we saw him come up against Arnautovic and we thought this is going to be a big test for him. Seeing him come up against the big, barely centre-forward, he handled it really well. The fitness thing's issue. Well, I mean, we're talking about him from a centre-half perspective. Could see him at right back. You know, he looked very good coming in Porto. I don't know how much you remember of the game by that point, Si. but he looked composed, he looked confident. And once again, for the same logic, we're talking about Matip. Trent Alexander-Arnold, massive for how we play football. Yeah. Last season, I think Gomez does come in for the Barcelona game. If we've got him fit and available, I know he's injured this time last year, but we tended to use Gomez in games where we were coming up against really good opposition. But I wonder whether this time around it's a case of, well, Trent's so important that we need him fit and fresh. Giving him a game off when we've probably got enough in our locker at Anfield to win this game could be an option as well.
Yeah, it definitely could be. I think Gomez at centre-back, he doesn't offer again what Matip does going forward. And I think when a team like Huddersfield is going to be sitting back and just trying to see what they can get on the counter-attack or whatever, I think Matip and Trent together can really give you an option there going forward. So yeah. We'll come to it in a minute, but that's who I've gone with.
Sweet, stop spoiling. I'm spoiling. Brilliant. We're going to take a little break. I want you to check this out. Me and Chris have promised it. We've got a brand new channel and a brand new podcast. It's Machin Pajach. It's us, completely unfiltered. And not always about Liverpool, but sometimes a bit more random stuff. This one is relating to a lot of the stuff we've done on Red Men. It's Chris talking about the trials and tribulations that he's gone through in terms of being a bit of a social media personality in the last few years. I think it's fair to say that your life hasn't been the same since that point.
No, it hasn't. And listen, I am, you know, so many people meet me and reference that I've become defined by 7 seconds of words that came out of my mouth.
Yeah.
Which I think if anybody took a look at themselves, to think that you are defined by about 20 words, your entire life. You know, I was 31 at the time, I'm 36 now. I'm defined by about 20 words, and that's what people think I am and who people think I am. And that's not right. You know, we've done so much good stuff, both, you know, at Red Men and before Red Men and stuff like that, that to think that people just think of me as some kid who fucking spouted off about Chelsea, and to think that people think that I'm a homophobe because of that.
Yeah.
It's madness. It's madness, and it's maddening, more importantly.
Yeah, look, the feedback on the podcast has been fantastic. You can check it out. Some serious stuff, some just general biff. You know, I've been mates with them for a very, very long time. So, yeah, some of the irreverent stuff in there as well. Get over. We'll annotate to it at the end of the video description. We'll have the link as well. Go and check it out. Go and subscribe. Go and see what you think and leave us some feedback as well. Spot on.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Simon, preferred 11 time. Any major shake-ups for you?
Yeah, a little bit, yeah. Nothing too mad. I've gone with, first and foremost, you want to pick a team that I think can beat Huddersfield, and I think they definitely should do if he does play this team. But I have got an eye, like I said before, on those four huge games that are coming up. So the back five is the back five that's pretty much been playing. And then I've gone with that for being Johender, Keita in midfield. And I think partly, like I said, they're in such good form at the minute. And I think Hendo and Keita offer you something going forward that we'll need to try and break Huddersfield down if they're sitting back against us. I think it's nice to get Keita a few more minutes as well. Fabinho, hopefully getting back on the horse after that little cameo he had the other day where he unfortunately had to get took off after a minute. But I also think that I definitely want to play Genie against Barcelona next week.
Okay.
I think he's one of the first names on the team sheet, and so give him that rest, make sure he's fully 100% fit to go. I'd maybe even play Milner against Barca next week as well, because I just love the way he plays these away games in Europe. I don't want to talk too much about that game, because it's still a week away. But so that's my thinking for it. And then I've gone with Origi on the left as well, instead of Mane.
Okay.
Salah, Firmino, Origi is the front three.
Because Mane probably could do with that a little bit.
Firmino got the rest against Porto, even though it was for only for half the game he comes on. But I thought Origi deserved that start against Porto because he's been fantastic. When he come on for 20 minutes, he's really had an effect on the games. And
with the greatest respect to Huddersfield, Origi should be able to still do the business against Huddersfield, particularly at Anfield.
I felt a little bit sorry for him when he got took off at half time against Porto, but it was clear that it was the right decision.
Yeah.
You know, we wanted to bring Firmino on to defend the lead that we had by that point, and it made sense to take Origi off, and after what Firmino did in the second half, it obviously makes sense. But I think he deserves another little start, and I don't know if he's going to get one for the rest of the season, so this is the game I'd start.
No, fantastic. I can't fault any of the logic on that at all. Bailey, you've gone a bit more wild.
I'm just to caveat it with everything that we've spoke about, this is pretty much the last clean sheet you can get, sort of clean sheet/clean slate. You can get where you can pretty much chalk any name down and put any valuable reason as to why that player's there, whether that's for rotation for the future, whether that's because these are the most susceptible to goals, the least threat to you. But I've gone Gomez in the centre, obviously for reasons we've described already. But I've gone for a 4-2-3-1 because, A, I wanted to get Shaqiri in the team because I think that, like I say, this is the last hurrah. And I just remember him. And to be honest,
he's the only one who's not, literally the only first team squad member who's not in any semblance of form at the moment. And maybe Sturridge.
It's a case of we're going into the last stage of the Champions League, and I just have flashbacks to having to bring Adam Lallana on in the final. Yeah. And I want to know the stretch of our forward options. You know, we've seen cameos from Origi, not so much Sturridge, a bit of Lallana, I don't know where he's at with his injury, and Shaqiri's the only one left, but he's got the most goals out of those four.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see him back again to see sort of whether he can get a goal or an assist and say, you know what, I want to be the first sub when it comes to the Barcelona games, when it comes to the Champions League final potentially. But I've kept the front three as it is because I'm concerned with the goal difference. You know, this is a game where we can look at it and say, what are we, 6 goals behind City, I think, 6 or 7?
Obviously, with the caveat that...
Obviously, they've got a game in hand.
City United,
But at this point, it's okay. You could look at Huddersfield and say, Newcastle are... As much as we can all say Rafa could do us a favour, they're a very, very well-drilled defensive team.
And we don't have a great record at St James Park. No, I agree with this. Good. We're making this point in some regards. Like, I'm glad we just got Cardiff done and dusted and seen it was a nice, solid result. But, you know, Man City's goal difference is... You could argue Man City's goal difference is so superior because prior to the Cardiff game, they'd played all the worst teams in the league twice. You know, we'd yet to do that, and that's where you get your opportunities. And Huddersfield is that. Mm. You know, that's where... I don't know whether that's... God, I don't want another Crystal Palace style situation where it becomes a goal chase to the detriment of your security.
Yeah.
I don't think it will become that, but you're right. You know, that's an opportunity that if Liverpool should be thinking that. We should be thinking, look, these are dead and buried. We're miles better than these. It's a good opportunity to get the goals up. So, no, it's definitely an interesting option. Ben, the big change you made was just at the back.
Yeah, bringing Gomez at centre-half, if possible. And it's no fault of Matip. Although I've had the conversation, I don't know whether I'd love Gomez to be fit for Barcelona, but I don't think he's going to be. I don't think it's the right game to drop him in there. I think Matip's probably going to start away there, and then I think this is the ideal game to bring in Joe Gomez for me. I think you could play him at right back, but why take away from Trent's 20-year-old lad, he's going to be fit enough to do it all. So why take away from that extra sort of attacking weapon that we have with the two fullbacks by taking out Trent, put Gomez in, give him an hour even. You know, if he needs to come off after an hour, then that's absolutely fine. You know, he's done his job at that point. Bring on Matip and see out the game that way. You could even drop, if Fabinho starts and Gomez is flagging, you could drop Fabinho back and bring on a different midfielder. There's options there. I think that's the beauty of our squad at the moment. There's lots of flexibility around it.
I went with keeping the midfield three of Fabinho, Hendo, Keita, keeping the front three because a similar thing. I think this is an opportunity to get some goals and actually making the changes at the back to put some minutes in the leg. So obviously I don't know where Lovren's up to, but I went Gomez right back, Lovren in a centre back, and then put Milner in at left back for it, just to give Robbo and Trent a game off so that they're as fresh as possibly can be for this. The midfield thing's interesting though, because I didn't think of the midfield in this perspective, but I think you're right, Si. I think there's all the evidence there is that we'll probably see a midfield variation on Milner and Gini, almost certainly in that midfield, and it could be Henderson, Milner, Gini, it could be Fabinho, Milner, Gini, and you know, because we've seen the evidence away from home in Europe, Klopp likes that. He likes that stability. I don't think we'll start Keita in the new camp.
I don't think Keita will start in the new camp. No, the Milner ones again. I've just realised I'm about to talk about the Barcelona game that we're not really talking about. But yeah, I think it's impossible not to look at the Barca game when you're talking about this one. You're going to the new camp to play Barcelona, and 5 days later, and this is Huddersfield. I know we're trying not to underestimate them, but there's clearly a catastrophic gulfing class between the two teams.
There's a division, there's literally a division.
But also, what that means is both of these games are going to be completely different games. This one, Liverpool are going to have an awful lot more of the ball. We're going to be trying to break a team down, whereas going away, Barca are probably going to be the one trying to break us down, and we're trying to defend. And so you can choose, at its simplest level, choose your attacking midfielders in this game and play the more defensive ones next week. Yeah. I think that's what he's going to do.
Absolutely, yeah. Wouldn't surprise me at all. But the best thing, once again, on this barely is just those options. This is what we're talking about. We're going into this going, we could make, you know, you could conscionably make, you could make like four, or you know, you could change, put Gomez in, you could put Lovren in, you could put Milner in, keep the midfield three, and then you could put an Origi up front, or you could put swap Salah out for Shaqiri if you wanted to, just to give yourself
for storage.
Exactly. You know, we could make five changes to this side, but I think it's right in so much as, again, we're recording this before City United. We'll talk about that in just a second, but I mentioned this on the podcast. It doesn't matter what the result of that game is.
No.
We've still got to go and get the points, go and get the business done here, because let's say we're living in that dream world where United have actually pulled something out their arses here, it's all for naught if you don't go and get 3 points against Huddersfield. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if we want to rest people, we want to rest the front three, or we want to make sweeping changes, go out there, get it done in 60 minutes, and then rest.
Yeah, I could see it being a case of sort of Wolves in the FA Cup, you know, where you not that many wholesale changes, especially changes for players that haven't touched the pitch for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no Keanu Hoover for this one.
Yeah, exactly. And Lovren going off after 2 minutes. But it's a case of like,
oh, that's a possibility though, isn't it?
With Lovren, absolutely, yes.
Absolutely.
But even Fabinho at this rate. But it's a case of like, I like the ability to bring players on, and even if you've got your lesser forwards, you know, your Origis, your Sturridges, your Shaqiris, all of them are very capable of scoring goals, no problem. And it's a case of, say, like Ben was saying with Gomez, you get the 60 minutes and you 2-0 up and you want to get some legs in, some time into Salah to kick on into Barcelona, and you say, go and get yourself a goal. This is a prime opportunity. They're done. They're dead in the water at this point. Any way you cut it, I'm sort of like, as long as we're not, so you're not putting a Moreno in or maybe a Mignolet, sort of where the changes you don't really need to make whatsoever, because they're not going to have another appearance. I think we'll be absolutely fine.
Yeah, absolutely. And then let's look at, so we've been calling it rival fixtures all season. It's not. It's rival fixture. Obviously, we know that City travel to Burnley on the Sunday. We have to talk about it very briefly. Once again, we're recording this on Tuesday, so obviously ahead of the United City game. None of us really knows how that's going to go. I think the consensus is everyone feels that Man United are going to get absolutely wellied everywhere here. Anyone?
We've all made various noises there. Yeah. I think I maintain that, and I've said this morning, I said it to my dad yesterday, no matter how badly we're playing and no matter how badly Everton are playing, we always hate going to Goodison Park.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, the fact that it is a derby, United, I mean, I don't like Man United, but I quite like Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, mm-hmm. and he's been speaking very well in his press conferences, and it looks as if they're going to be really up for this on Wednesday now, not only because they need to make the top four, but also because the pride, you know, I'm not even saying this because it's Everton, but who loses 4-0 away at Everton?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's a bad result.
That's a bad
result. They've got to pick themselves up for this, because if they can't, then why are they wearing the shirt? Man United are a massive club.
I'm perfectly comfortable, Shai, with the two scenarios, which are thusly. Everyone expects Man United to get battered, but as Ben says, there's an opportunity there for a reaction. So I do feel weirdly as though if Man United were coming into this in form, I think I'd have favoured City weirdly, with the fact that they're not in form, and I feel like they might have something to prove is a good thing. But I'm not putting all my eggs in this basket, because I've said all along, I always felt Man City were going to get through the spell of games and they were going to come to Burnley, and that's their game in hand. Finally, that was one where they draw level, you know, in terms of games, and we get to sit back and watch what's left of that team, having been through the mill, and have them come up against Sean Dyche, and seeing what Burnley did to Chelsea, you know, going up with cramp for the final 15 minutes and elbowing lads in the heads and then and laughing in the faces and all that kind of stuff.
I'd be like Chelsea, like Mourinho did to us a few years ago. Yeah. The exact same thing, just set out, because Burnley are safe now, am I right?
Yeah, well,
mathematically, yeah. No, but yeah, effectively.
Pretty much. So all they've got to play for is to go and frustrate City. Sean Dyche lives for that.
Yeah.
Burnley's players live for that, and hopefully, but even the Man United one, I just think that's such a hard game to predict. Like, as City are the hot favourites going into it, Man United are down, and Man United could either stay down and get battered and roll over, or they could really come back and bounce back from it. I think it's really hard to predict at the minute. Hopefully it's a second one.
I think the important thing, Bailey, is that we've said this for the last few weeks, is that not to be too disheartened by anything we see from Man City in the next week or so, because neither of these could prove to be good things, you know. But they've still got a couple of games left to play. They've still got to play Leicester at home, and I think they've still got Brighton away, I think I'm right in saying, last game of the season.
Mm. Safe.
You bagged them to batter Brighton. You know, the Brighton couldn't lay a glove on them in the FA Cup. But as long as we keep doing the business, I can make a story up for every one of those games that they've got.
Exactly. Exactly. That's it. I was saying this earlier. Sort of, it comes every game that everyone goes, oh, Spurs have just come off the back of a win here, they're in good form, and then City win, as they've have done for the last 10, 11, 12 games, they've won. And it becomes the next week along, it sort of, there's a story to be made here as to why they should win. Just go into it expecting City to win and just enjoy the football. Whatever happens, happens. The best thing for me is about this United game is I've got more hope out of Sean Dyche's Burnley and Brendan Rodgers' Leicester doing us a favour more than United. And the fact that that's the level that United are at now is brilliant for me, especially.
that's a nice silver lining.
I was having this conversation today. It would be the most United thing to do, to go and lose 4-0 to Everton and then somehow get a result against City. And that's why it wouldn't shock me. That's why I'm going to watch the game. I'm going to have no hope that they will. Like you said, I expect them to go and get twatted 6-0.
Yeah.
But if they somehow pull it out of the bag, I'd be like, it's United.
I think it's going to be a great game of football.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be a really good entertainment. And I know, I think you've said a couple of times, you know, don't trouble yourself watching City and all that. I can't wait to sit down.
No,
and watch
I must
that
admit,
game on Wednesday.
I'm comfortable enough in me supporting Liverpool at the minute that I think I probably will watch that one. Just unless City are like 4-0 up in the first 20 minutes, in which case.
Oh yeah, you turn it off as soon as they score.
Absolutely. But I like this, and it's one of those things. I think. I feel like a Man United result is far more likely having been battered by Everton. And I feel if they then go and batter Man United, I feel like a Burnley win is far, because everyone's going to go, that's it, league done. The second they beat Man United, that will be the story. City are done. They're over the line because they've only got Burnley. They'll just go, well, look, they've beat everyone else. And that's when I wonder whether there's a sting in the tail yet. But we'll see that as we approach the final furlong of the season. Score prediction, Si, Liverpool, Huddersfield, Friday night, what's it going to be?
3-0.
5-0.
Ben?
I'll go nice middle ground, I'll go 4-0.
I'll take a 5-0. I like a 5, or a 6-1, just to give them a little bit of a little bit of
they score first.
Just a good send.
Just to make everyone's asses drop. Like, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, brilliant. Thank you very much for watching the show. Thank you very much for liking, for sharing, and for subscribing. And yeah, if you want to subscribe to me and Chris's new channel, Machen Pager, check out the podcast. We'll annotate to it right now so you can click through. It'll be in the description, or you can look, it's all over me and his Twitter, so you can get involved that way as well. Other than that, gents, thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Up the mighty Reds, and we'll see you very soon. Ta-ra.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.